Invite you to remain standing a moment longer as we read this morning's gospel. I'll be reading from the gospel according to Mark, the 7th chapter, verses 24 through 37. From there he set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman, whose little daughter had an unclean spirit, immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syro-Phoenician origin. She begged him to cast out the demon from her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon toward the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. You know, this week as I was reading our suggested text, the lectionary text for the week, there's so much going on, so many opportunities to have messages and mission kept coming back. Miracle, excuse me. My tongue seems to have an impediment this day. That's interesting. I kept coming back to this notion of miracles, healings, Jesus's healings. Yesterday, I met a walking miracle when I was in Terrell, Texas. A walking miracle right in front of my eyes. Don't get too excited. Her last name was Miracle. But you see, I bring that up because so many of us have expectations of miracles, understandings of miracles. Our perspective on miracles is so different. I mean, is anyone else other than me curious about the variety, the huge number of ways Jesus heals people, these miracles that he performs? Have you ever looked into any of that? I mean, sometimes he's healing people by just simply laying hands on. Sometimes it's healing by just saying so, "be healed." Sometimes, like in John's gospel in the 5th chapter, it's in a conversation with someone where he says, "Do you want to be made well?" Sometimes it's on the Sabbath where he just simply instructs someone to take up their mat and be healed. And then we come to this. Now, I count this healing of this Syro-Phoenician woman's daughter a healing. And I count this healing of this deaf mute, if you will, as healing. I think these today's passages of Scripture are some of the most bizarre of Jesus' healings. Did you hear what he did? Did you hear how he stuck his fingers in the man's ear? And not only did he stick his fingers in the man's ear, then he spat on his hand. Jesus did. He spat on his hand, and he reached in and he touched the man's tongue. Boy, that's bizarre. Why couldn't he, instead of getting germs on his hands, why couldn't he have just said, "You're healed"? All of this reason for us to ponder these healings and what might Jesus be saying to us. here's some of the reality of this last healing, this deaf mute. This sounds like us. Friends of the man brought him to Jesus. We bring our prayer needs, our concerns of our family, our friends, even ourselves before God. Friends bring our needs. Jesus heals in private, and then he says, tell no one. And what does the man do? What does the crowd do? They can't wait to tell about this healing miracle. Now, Jesus' motivation is probably along the lines of this. I don't want people to come to know me because of my healing powers, although they're important and significant, and they're for all people. Ask the Syrophoenician woman. But when people focus on the healing and not the transformed life, they miss my most important part of being here. For I'm building God's kingdom, not through the healing of sick people, but through people's changed hearts. Their faith, in other words. Consider this. 700 years before Jesus is born into the world, a prophet by the name of Isaiah says this. I'm going to read to you from Isaiah, the 35th chapter, verses 5 and 6. See if this sounds familiar. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. What just happened? How was this prophecy of Isaiah just fulfilled in what Jesus did with this deaf mute? His hearing was restored. He was able to talk. And to prove the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, he begins to do the very thing Jesus says don't do, but he begins to offer proof through his speech that Jesus is the fulfillment of the messianic promise to God's people. There's no need to doubt any longer. This man who has been healed is beginning to help Jesus show the rest of the world that the messianic age has come. It is being fulfilled in Jesus who is the Christ. So even though Jesus doesn't want people to focus on the healing powers that he has, people need to know that the world now is being changed by the Son of God. Do you believe in miracles? When was the last time you saw a miracle? It was the last time you heard somebody sharing of a miracle. You know, some who are very strict followers of great theologians like Martin Luther or John Calvin say that the age of miracles is over. Miracles were for a time when Jesus and his power and authority needed to be affirmed. And from that point forward, it is by faith that we recount miracles. I read a story from Joe Sarter about Joe Sarter. He said he was blind for 6 years, Joe Sarter. He said he suffered from atrophy of the optical nerve. Blind for 6 years, had never seen the face of his 5-year-old daughter. And one day as he was maneuvering down the stairs to the basement, somebody had left the dog dish on the step and Joe Sarter stepped on it, slipped, fell all the way down the staircase, hit his head on the wall as he went down, and when he landed, his sight had been restored. Joe Sarter says it was by the grace of God that his sight was restored. It was a miracle, he said. And yet some people deny that miracle. At least Joe Sarter gave God some credit, right? Dr. Albert Einstein says that there are two ways that we can live life. We can live life as if there are no miracles. Or Dr. Einstein says we can live life as if everything is a miracle. When you think about the complexity of our human bodies, about what it takes, how it ticks, I know we get saddened by our aging sometimes, and as we grow into our later years, but just think about all the things that you have put your bodies through or are putting your bodies through. How complex these bodies are. Is not just the gift of life a miracle? It is to me. So I might say to Dr. Einstein, maybe Dr. Einstein, I like this notion that everything is a miracle, that I can give God credit for everything. But maybe, just maybe, there are those extraordinary moments when I can't explain something happening in any other way than by saying, that's a miracle. So maybe, Dr. Einstein, I would say to you, just leave me room for that, to say that there is an even greater miracle. Now, I can't explain to you why some miracles happen with some folks and they don't happen with others. I really honestly can't say that. Some people might say it's because of my faith or lack of faith. I disagree with that. I think there are plenty of people of faith who pray for miracles, for physical healing, spiritual healing, emotional healing. And I believe God answers every prayer. It just may not be the way we'd hoped or expected. So I believe God answers our prayers. And maybe the miracle that God is working every day in our lives, we just don't understand it. But I think it's good for us to ask. Because maybe, just maybe, for some reason, somebody receives a miracle. Do you believe in miracles? Have you ever heard of the story of Alcides Moreno? Alcides Moreno and his brother Edgar were window washing team. They had a small business in Manhattan. And on December 7th in 2007, the Moreno brothers were up on their platform where they always did their work, 47th floor of a skyscraper, and the platform collapsed. 47 stories up, friends. Alcides Moreno and Edgar both fell. As you would expect, there was death. Edgar died. Alcides survived the fall. Now, some suggested he landed on one of those canopies that's out over the, or that he hit a flagpole on the way down to break his fall. None of that existed, friends. He hit the pavement like his brother Edgar did. Edgar did not survive, and Alcides lived. And on 2 weeks later, on Christmas Day, Alcides opened his eyes, and he reached out and touched his nurse's face. And a short time thereafter, the physician there said, I believe he will walk again someday. 47 stories. I can't explain that, friends. I can't explain why miracle happens with one and not the other. But I can believe in miracles. Jesus didn't heal the way people asked. Did you hear that in the story? The friends of the deaf mute said, put your hands on him, Jesus. Maybe they had heard the ways that he had healed in other places, and maybe they'd heard that he liked to touch. Jesus didn't do that. He took the man into private, where he put his fingers in his ears, spat in his hand, and touched the man's tongue so that it could be unloosed, so that this man could give thanks to our God of love, the God of miracles. Everybody experiences miracles. If you've taken a medicine, I would give God credit for that healing miracle. You know, 2,000 years ago, when our biblical writers were telling these stories, they didn't have the medicines that keep us alive today. As a matter of fact, I think the life expectancy was probably about half of what it is today. If you take blood pressure medication, if you've had chemotherapy, if you've had any kind of hope in stem cell research, in genetic testing, if you can just pause at the modern day miracles that God allows to happen, you can give our God thanks. But I can't tell you why it doesn't heal everyone. But this hope, this faith that we have in our Lord is for everyone. And maybe, just maybe, that when we have this kind of living, growing faith in our hearts, maybe we are being healed in the ways that God planned, regardless of what our physical bodies are doing. Maybe that's that healing that is unexpected. And while some Christians deny the presence and power of miracles, I try to give thanks to God for all the things of life that we so often take for granted, including those little things that keep us alive. You know what's unfortunate? That even though our life expectancies are increasing, do you know that in the year 2017, they actually went backwards a bit? Friends, that was, they say, due to choices. The opioid epidemic. in significant ways began to reduce the life expectancy of people. That means we've got a horrendous problem. Throw in things like gun violence, and you begin to see why, with the great miracles of modern medicine, why we're not living as long. Things for us to ponder about our choices, how we go through our life together. This Syrophoenician woman, let's consider her for just a minute. She is put in a place in life out of expectations of others. Yes, by her cultural background, she's an outsider. She's also a woman. So here is a couple of strikes against her. Did anybody see Serena Williams argue with a tennis umpire yesterday? Did anybody hear her motivation for doing that? This morning before I came to worship, they interviewed a male tennis pro who said, beyond a shadow of a doubt, sexism exists in professional tennis. Women are not treated equally as men are. So take for this Syrophoenician woman. How did she get Jesus to respond to her request? Jesus acknowledged, look, you, this isn't for you. I've come for the children of God. That's who the food on the table's for. And yet, she protested and she persisted. We don't think of this story in those terms. She protested and she persisted. Maybe the miracle of healing, yes, is in the little girl who's freed from whatever a demonic possession is. But maybe, friends, just maybe, this story is a healing miracle to remind us of a paradigm shift. Maybe, just maybe, when things don't seem to be right and we protest and we're persistent, maybe, just maybe, that's another one of God's ways of miracles happening. Do you know of any protests going on in our world today? Do you know of any unfairness, inequalities going on in our world today? Maybe, just maybe, we're witnessing miracles at work. Nurse Susan Bottoms tells of a story. She was an ICU nurse, and one evening a dying pastor was brought into the emergency room. And the doctor told Susan have them gather the family around. This is the end for this pastor and his life. The family made a very strange request of the ER staff there. They said, is there any way possible that you can contact the local prison and see just if there is a chance that this man's son, who's incarcerated at that prison, can be brought here to see his dying father for the last time? Maybe miracles happen, folks. Somehow this son, this wayward son, convicted of murder, was escorted from the prison to the emergency room. And there in the emergency room, father and son embraced. People got teary-eyed watching them. Who would have believed that a convicted murderer would be escorted from a prison to a hospital to see a dying man? Friends, who would have believed that that little glimpse of reconciliation, that moment of forgiveness, would lead to another year of life for that pastor? Oh, he died, not there in that emergency room. That little glimmer of hope in a broken world gave him more life, more reason to live, maybe more reason to share his story and how his son came and reconciled with his father. Friends, I don't have all the answers. I know the human body is complicated. I know it doesn't respond to every medicine we would like it to. I don't know why one receives a miracle and one seemingly doesn't. I just don't know. We're told so much of our faith is a mystery. I just don't know. But what I know is the constant love our God has for us. Even when we don't feel it, even when we reject it, God's grace is powerful and present. So I invite you to consider the miracles of this day and the miracles of tomorrow. And as we prepare our hearts to come to our Lord's table, the miracle that the risen Christ joins us here at his table. to offer us comfort and encouragement, to give us a reminder of whose we are and what we've been designed for and what we're being asked to do as we share the love of God with all people. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.